Good evening, everyone. I'm Linor Moudou. Welcome to Health Chat. Many people complain about being stressed. We generally use the word stress when we feel that we are overloaded, everything seems to have become too much, and the pressures appear challenging. In some cases, people are stressed, but they are not even aware of it. Let me ask you this. Are you under a lot of stress? Are you experiencing some anxiety or headaches with no specific causes? Well, you may be stressed. So on today's program, we will reassess our stress this year to ensure that we live a stress-free year, or at least we try. And to help us with this, we are joined via phone from New York City by Dr. Ken Redcross, internal medicine specialist and concierge doctor. Dr. Redcross, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me on. How are you?
I am great, and I don't think I am stressed, at least not yet. So thank you so much.
I love to hear that.
Yes, for sure.
Look, this is the year that we all have to reassess our stress. So that's an important thing for us to do.
Very, very important indeed. Because for me, having lived here for many years and being from Africa, I have this assessment, right?
Right.
I'm from Cote d'Ivoire. And when I go home and I talk to people, my families, my friends and everything, I don't hear people saying that they are stressed very much, right?
Right.
And then I come here and this is everything. Like, people talk about it like all the time. Even myself, I find myself saying, I'm stressed. So what is it really? What does it mean to be stressed?
Well, you know, there is just so much going on here. You know, it's funny that you're mentioning that. You know, there is the American Psychological Association. They've actually done a 10-year study on stress in America, and they found that we have had the most significant increase in stress recently. Some of that does coincide with the election, which is challenging either way. It doesn't really matter what side of the aisle you're on. The point is that it is change, and it's something that is very stressful for a lot of us. So I think the most important thing for us to do is figure out how we can actually manage our stress to make life a little bit easier. But you're right. You hear so much differently when you're out of the country than when you're here in the United States and the way that we actually deal with our stress.
But one of the things also that really made me think is the fact that sometimes I feel like even if it seems like life is stressful in the United States, which is a generalization that I will not really support, but I feel like maybe sometimes it is the fact that it seems to be overused. The word, the saying that I am stressed seems to be overused here. You know, am I on something here, or is it really that people are that much stressed? Because I know that there is stress also in Africa, but is it maybe perhaps it is being overused? People don't really understand what being stressed means.
No, you're right. I mean, look, we definitely throw that term around pretty easily. Now, stress can be good sometimes. Stress can be would give you the ability to kind of rise up at work and do a good job and that sort of thing. The problem is when you have stress that is long term, when you have stress that is actually really affecting your body each and every day, that's when we run into problems where stress can actually not only reduce or dampen your immune system, but it can also lead to disease. Mm-hmm. So I think the main thing we need to do here in the States, or really everywhere, and everyone listening, we should figure out ways that we can manage our stress. And what I wanted to do was at least create kind of a stress reduction makeover that we all can do within 15 minutes of our day.
Mm, and that's very interesting. You know, I'm so excited about this because we have a whole 30 minutes to talk about this topic. And I think it's so important when we look at, I was reading on stress and I saw all the different conditions that could come as a result of stress. I would have never thought, you know, even fever, sometimes cancer and things like that, Dr. Redcross. I found it really disconcerting to see how many different sicknesses that stress can bring.
No, absolutely. And some of the bigger symptoms are ones that we always deal with, but we never think about it, such as fatigue. In other words, feeling very tired or just feeling nervous. Or what about those headaches that we all get from time to time? They mm-hmm. all can be related to stress. So there are a myriad of symptoms that can be brought on by stress. So, you know, it's important that we kind of dive in and figure out what can we do to really make a big difference in our stress each and every day.
Absolutely, and we are diving in today, definitely, at least what we can do in this this short time.
Because exactly.
I really want to understand this, and so that I hope I'm not using this word anymore this year and many years to come. So listen, Dr. Red Cross, how big of an influence does stress have on our general health? I know you touched on it, but if you could please explain to us a little more further.
Well, because you have to think of two things. Well, when you have the short-term stress, that's when we start to get these recurrent colds, right? You say, gosh, I've had this cold for 2 or 3 days and it will not go away. But when you're thinking about chronic stress, that's when you start thinking about cardiac disease. That's when you start thinking of depression. That's why stress is not something to be taken lightly. To your point you mentioned a few minutes ago, we throw that word around, but this word can be a very detrimental thing to our lives. And so it's important that, number one, we acknowledge the stress. And the second thing is that we say, you know what, we're going to have to tackle the stress now. It has to be an active approach to really make sure that we deal with our stress day in and day out. Because no matter what we do, no matter how wonderful our jobs are, how wonderful our families may be, we're always at some point going to be faced with stress. And we need to figure out how are we going to manage it when it comes to us right into the forefront.
Absolutely. Managing is very important. And we're going to get into the details of that. But before we talk about managing, I think some people have to even recognize the signs. How do you know that you are undergoing a lot of stress and you need to address it, whether it's some personal steps or seeing a specialist like you? So what are some of the signs?
You know, some of the bigger signs is when someone comes to my office and they're saying, you know what, doc, I just can't sleep anymore. I don't know why, but I just cannot stay asleep, and I'm up all night, and I feel like I haven't slept in a few days. Or you'll get someone that comes in, and they start to talk about that there's maybe some sort of problems at home. You know, there's a lot of animosity or a lot of anxiousness, and something just doesn't feel right. So when you get someone that starts talking about symptoms that are kind of vague, or once again, we mentioned lack of energy, those are the things that really have to get you to sit down and say, you know, maybe we should talk a little bit about what's going on in your life. How is work? How is your family? How are your friendships? How are your relationships? All of those things are important to bring in when you start hearing some of these symptoms, which can seem a little vague, even change in appetite or teeth grinding. Something as small as that can make a really big impact in your life each and every day.
That's interesting. Now, let's talk about some of the biggest stressors. In the United States, for example, I know you talked about the election. That was one of the reasons why stress level went up these past couple of years or so.
Sure.
What other biggest stressors that we can say we have in the United States?
Well, some of the bigger ones that we all are familiar with probably are the financial issues, right? We all may not be where we want to be financially or put a different emphasis on money, but that can be something that is very stressful. The other thing tends to be relationship difficulties. That's another common one that we hear a lot. And the other thing, your children. You know, how are your children doing? Are they doing okay at school? Is there a challenge at school? And, you know, those are some of the common ones. And also relationship issues such as divorce. Divorce is another one. And also loss of a loved one, whether it be a child or a mother or a father or grandmother, loss of life and grieving or other things that actually cause stress. So these are major impacts that really affect us. And unfortunately, the way everything is set up, we're all going to experience these at some point.
Yes, and I ask about the United States, but some of the things that you mentioned, if not all of them, I experience around the world, whether you are in a very developed country or low-income, middle-income countries. So these are very common.
Absolutely right. You know, no one is immune from this. All of us around the world, we are brothers and sisters in different countries and areas, and we're all united by this thing called stress that we all have to manage in our own way.
What a way to be united. So let me ask you this. I know that like in low income countries, could there be some other factors in addition to what you mentioned? Maybe one or two. For example, places where there's conflict, war, and things like that.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, you're talking about war torn areas and countries. You're talking about also trying to see when you're going to get your next meal, food, clean water. So there are different stressors, that's for sure. Now, it's interesting, right, the way things are set up, because in the Western world, you know, we don't necessarily have those challenges, but the challenges here are kind to really think about staying unplugged. In other words, everybody here is into their device, into their phone, and sometimes maybe appears into ourselves and not necessarily others and what others are going through. And so we all have different levels of stressors, but you're absolutely right. When you're in an underserved country or in a third world country, there are different set of stressors to actually deal with at that point as well.
Now, let me ask you this. As we live in the era of new technologies and everything, I'm not trying to say anything about new technologies. We need them. They are very important, social media, the internet. But, you know, from personal experience, I was connected to one special social media, and I found myself to be dependent and stressed, right? And then I stopped.
Right.
And I felt so light. I felt like, so can
sure.
social media or the internet to some extent be a source of concern, depending on the way people use it? Or, I mean, is there something there?
No, there is a lot there, actually. You know, you take so much time in your day. You know, they've actually done studies, and some people can spend up to 6 hours each and every day on social media. Think about how many times you check your phone. Think about how many times you kind of swipe your phone and see what email you've gotten, or check the internet quickly, or check your social media links, three or four of them. Think about that, and you realize how much that impacts your day. And actually, at the end of the day, can actually impact your happiness as well, because you end up getting really into this news all each and every day, and you're not really taking time to focus on yourself and some of those things that are important for just self-healing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's very important to really have a self-awareness about how much time we spend on social media and what we do with it, and really sometimes take a break from it, right?
Yeah, you have to. Social media will absolutely take over your life. In fact, when I talk to patients about it, I always try to say, build in a two-hour window. That's all I'm asking. It's a two-hour window where you're not even answering emails. Believe me, most of those emails that we think are so important can actually wait. And the social media links can definitely wait, because they're waiting when you get back to the 2 hours later anyhow. But it's just, allows you to have time to once again unplug and focus on you and some of the things that are going to make you happy and not stressed.
Okay. Well, Dr. Red Cross, we are going to talk about stress management, because that's the bottom line. We need to know what to do
sure.
better. It's one thing to be stressed. It's another thing to get out of it and maintain it. But we have to take a short break. We're going to
sure.
take a short break. So we thank you. Hang in there. We are going to listen to this report from VOA's Lisa Schlines. She reports on how depression is affecting people globally, and depression is said to be one of the results of stress. Take a listen.
The World Health Organization reports more than 300 million people, or more than 4% of the global population, were living with depression in 2015. The numbers mark an 18% increase over a 10-year period. Dan Chisholm is health systems advisor in the WHO's Department of Mental Health and Substance Abuse and a lead author of the report. He says depression is a disorder that can affect anyone at any point in that person's life.
If you look at the prevalence of different disorders around the world and you look at the disability that is associated with them, if you combine those together, depression ends up at the top of the list, because it's A, very common, you can see, 1 in 20 people in the world have it, and then it has quite a high level of impairment or disability associated with it.
The report finds prevalence rates for depression peak among older adults, affecting 2% more women between the ages of 55 and 74 than men. Across all age groups, however, the report notes depression is 1.5 times more common among females than males. Breaking a widespread misconception, Chisholm says the disorders are not diseases of the rich or the affluent. He says more than 80% of these conditions are present in low- and middle-income countries. He tells VOA depression is rising mainly because the world's population is growing and aging, particularly in developing countries.
For example, African countries might have 40-50% of the population under the age of 15. But as they transition, they might have only 30%. So you have more people reaching adulthood where the rates of depression are higher.
While depression is a growing problem in Africa, the report notes nearly half of all people living with the disorder are in the heavily populated regions of Southeast Asia and the Western Pacific. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
So, Dr. Red Cross, let me have your reaction to this story as it relates to stress and depression.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you shared that, actually. That was some wonderful information about something that's extremely important and affecting all of us worldwide. You know, you really can't underscore the fact that the population is growing older, right? And mm-hmm. when you get older, unfortunately, depression can sometimes be kind of a, I hate to even say side effect of that, but depression can be something that can definitely settle in when we get a little bit older. So it's important to make sure that we're cognizant of some of these things. So I appreciate that study and that information that you were sharing with us.
That's great. Now, one of the things that I found really worrisome is the fact that they're saying depression is more common in women than in men. Have you seen, could the same be true when it comes to stress? In your practice, have you seen more women being stressed as opposed to men?
You know, it's interesting. And, you know, it tends to be kind of sometimes seasonal and sometimes kind of what's going on in the lives of the woman. Look, the woman here, and I know here in the United States and probably in the world, tends to be the decision maker lots of times for the healthcare decisions. Mm-hmm. So that's a lot of pressure. And then not only that, a lot of women also carry the burden of also taking care of the children in addition to working high-powered jobs and so forth now, too. So much is changing, and I think so much is on the shoulders of women now. So lots of times you can definitely see that women are going through a lot more stress than some men out there.
Mm. Now, when I was reading about stress, one of the things, and I think you mentioned that already, is the fact that stress also affects the immune system.
Right, right. And that's the important thing, because when you start to realize that stress is slowing you down, or as I mentioned earlier, that cold that just doesn't go away mm-hmm. and you're just lingering and you're not getting sleep, that's when you really need to start thinking a lot about what are some of the things that we can do to manage that. Now, as I think about these things, the first thing we could do, actually, is we could start with our diet. You know, it's funny because a lot of us don't realize that food is medicine. And I think when we think like that, we're very certain, or I should say more cognizant about what we put into our bodies. So the first thing I always love to talk about is considering something like yogurt. See, yogurt has probiotics, and probiotics are the good bacteria to help to support our immune system. So much of our immune system is actually housed in the lining of our gut, and so it's important to make sure you replenish that with something like a probiotic. But one of those other things that's very funny, and people always say, I did not know that. You know, I always talk about the importance of mushrooms.
Oh.
See, mushrooms are important because mushrooms actually increase your white blood cell count. And not only does it increase your white blood cell count, but it also makes them more aggressive, which is great when your immune system is down. No, so in the morning, I always talk about something like maybe an omelet, a mushroom omelet or something like that. But if not, there is a wonderful supplement out there that's called AHCC. Mm-hmm. And see, AHCC is actually the number one immune supplement in Japan, and it actually is the precise mix of medicinal mushrooms that were shown not only to support your immune system, but it also has anti-cancer properties. So mm-hmm. when you think of supplementation and you're thinking of things like AHCC, let's talk about staying closer to the earth and not necessarily always thinking about medicines as the only way to manage some of the things that we deal with each and every day.
Yes, especially when you think about stress. For me personally, if I can find a way that I can, address it without having to take drugs, I would be very happy, you know, because stress is something that could be managed perhaps without drug.
Exactly. And, you know, that's why I mentioned that. When I had mentioned AHCC, I have some people who say, well, I don't have time to make the omelet. I don't have to. But at least there's a supplementation like that that has actually been beneficial. More importantly, human clinical trials, which I love to always have as well to share with patients. The other thing we can consider are oats and barley. Oats and barley, they have a fiber called beta-glucan. Mm-hmm. And beta-glucan actually has antimicrobial benefits and also antioxidant benefits. Once again, these are things that we are getting in the morning, as I love to call breakfast boosters, that are impacting our stress levels. So these are some things that we can do to make things easier as we go along throughout our days.
And you're speaking about breakfast. I'm going to ask you this question, and this is for me, but maybe for many people. How important is eating breakfast? Because I have the tendency to skip breakfast thinking, you know, when you think about weight, I try to cut down, and breakfast is something I cut down. So what can you tell us about breakfast?
Oh, no, please. What does mom say? Mom says breakfast is the most important meal of the day, and she is right. We all know mom is always right. And so breakfast is the way you want to start your morning. I mean, think about it. We just talked about three things, or really four things, that can actually impact your stress level each and every day. That underscores the importance of your breakfast. The other thing that's important is your metabolism gets started. So if you are trying to manage weight and that sort of thing, skipping breakfast is not the way to do it, because in order to really make sure that your caloric intake or your calories are lower, you want to kind of graze through the day. You don't want to necessarily miss meals, because if you start missing meals, guess what? Your body's not going to really lose any fat tissue, because your body doesn't know when you're going to feed it again. So you go in almost a starvation mode. So you don't want to skip breakfast. If anything, you want to maybe decrease some of the calories, but by all means, do not skip breakfast.
That could be causing me stress, too, because when I'm hungry, I'm not very happy.
Yeah, no, that's another thing. You're absolutely right. So that's something else to keep in mind. And not only that, usually when you're hungry, guess what? You eat more calories than you would have eaten if you just had a little breakfast.
Yes, yes, that's a very good point. Now, let's talk about clutter. How can physical and mental clutter cause stress? And what is the best way to clear them?
You know, clearing the clutter is so important. You know, they've actually shown studies that say when you have increased clutter, you also have increased stress. But when we're talking about clutter, we're not just talking about the workspace or our desk. Yes, our desk needs to be clear, but so does our brain, so does our mind. So the way I like to talk about it is I want to everyone to consider a quick to-do list. To-do list, I actually write is on a little dry erase board. And what I do is I categorize things into urgent, non-urgent, and important. So the night before, I know all of those things I want to get done tomorrow, but they are in the categories where they belong. So I don't have something like picking up my laundry in the urgent, because then that's stressful and it doesn't have to be done urgently.
Yes.
It's important, but it's not urgent. And so when you start to categorize these things, you wake up and you start to realize, like, oh my gosh, I can check this box off, I can check that box off, and that makes you feel better as well. And not only does clearing the clutter decrease your stress, but it also increases your productivity, which also makes you feel really, really wonderful. So it's like a, you know, it's a double bonus almost when you think about it, when you really start to kind of clear the clutter. Extremely important for us.
A list, very important, very interesting tip. I think I'm going to do that. Just make a list. That's very
absolutely.
You know
and
what?
Categorize
yes.
them. Don't forget. That's the key. Categorize them to in levels of importance,
okay,
and urgent and non-urgent. That'll help.
That's very, very important. Thank you so much for this tip. I just learned something, although I've been learning. So, and speaking about laughter, because that's what we just did. One of the things that I read is that you believe in is that laughter is still the best medicine.
No, absolutely. Laughter is something that we all can do. It is free, and it's something that releases some good chemicals in our body called endorphins. Endorphins make us feel good. And so something like laughter, a funny movie, or going out with a friend that always makes you laugh, those are the things that we need to be doing to really manage our stress. And, you know, not only is laughter important, but so is making sure that you focus on breathing deeper daily. And when I say that, we're talking like things such as yoga. Yoga is so beneficial in that it decreases the stress response and it helps to improve your mood. Not only that, meditation is something else we should consider as well, which is really just controlled breathing, but it helps to increase your self-awareness. And last but not least, high-intensity interval training is very helpful as well. Now, that's what I love. I am a CrossFitter. So that high-intensity interval training is the way I release my stress, because we're all different. But at least we've talked about two or three modalities or things that we can do to really decrease our stress and really improve the quality of our lives.
And places like many countries in sub-Saharan Africa where they play football, soccer, how we call it here, soccer,
right.
Could that be also a way to de-stress?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's some of the best exercise there. I mean, you talk about playing soccer, the game's over an hour long in the big field. Absolutely. That's pretty much high-intensity interval training as well, and that is a wonderful way to actually reduce your stress.
That's great. So let's talk about other steps, perhaps that you haven't mentioned, that we can incorporate in our daily routine to really help de-stress.
Well, not only that, make sure you leverage your family and friends. In other words, take out some time that is just focused for them, for your best friend, or just for your mom, just you and her or your father, because that's one thing that kind of gets lost in all of this. We all get busy. We get into our jobs, but we kind of forget mom is always going to be there for us. You know, you always have your brothers and sisters, but take out some family time. That's another way to actually reduce stress as well. But once again, you have to be proactive. You have to really make a concerted effort to say, no, this is mom day every Sunday or the first Sunday of every month, that sort of thing, because that's another way to really relieve your stress. And who knows you better than your family and especially your mother?
Mm. What about daddy?
Or daddy. That's right. Either one. Let's say who knows you better but your parents. Let's say that.
I say daddy because sometimes, you know, some father feel left out.
I know. I don't even look, and I shouldn't even say that because I'm a father myself, so I'm not even supporting myself. So I apologize to all the dads out there.
But we'll still go to turn to mom for certain things instead of dad. So that's a reality. That's a reality. We turn to
mom
for many personal things, and so it's very important. That's great. So let's say, so 2017, we are what for almost 4 months into the year. Give and take. So if we are to assess our personal stress level, what would we look into? What should we start looking into in terms of our daily routine? Should we look at how we do our jobs, how much time we spend at work, at home, how much time we spend in front of TV or exercising or things like that? What should we look into?
Yeah, the most important thing is that you have to look for balance. Balance meaning you can't work too much. Mm-hmm. You have to spend more time with family. And the third thing is you have to have time for yourself. And you need to figure out that balance and what's really important at the end of the day. Because at the end of the day, life and the purpose of life is almost about your family, life and love, and more importantly, happiness. So you have to find that balance because if you're working too much, something is missing, either for yourself or for your family. So, you know, sit down, even construct a pie chart if you have to, just a circle, and then really just put little triangles in there for what you think you actually give to your life for yourself, for your family, and also for your job. And you want to have that thing look like three perfect triangles when everything is distributed evenly. It'll make such an impact on your life.
So we have to become more mindful of the way we live our lives.
So, very important to do so, because if you don't do it for yourself, believe me, life will just pass you by and you'll look back a year later and have the same problems and challenges that you had before. And we don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm. And where can our audience find more information on what we discussed today if they want to connect with you as well?
Sure. So my website is drredcross.com. That's drredcross.com. And feel free to reach out on Facebook, which is at Ken Red Cross MD. And my Twitter handle is at Dr. Red Cross. Please say hello. I love meeting new people.
That's awesome. So, and finally, Dr. Red Cross, if you were to give us a few words, 2-3 words, in terms of better managing stress or avoiding stress before we wrap up.
Yeah, I would say if anything, guys, everything we've talked about today, don't try to take each one of these things in all at once. Take things that work for you, whether it be the breakfast boosters or whether it be breathing deeper daily or clearing the clutter. Maybe take one thing at a time and then see if you can bring this into your life and take control of your life and therefore decrease your stress.
That's wonderful. Dr. Red Cross, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me on, everyone. Stay healthy and stay stress-free.
Thank you. And that was Dr. Ken Red Cross, internal medicine specialist and concierge doctor. We thank him for joining us today. For more on today's show, log on to our website at voanews.com/health or drredcross.com. I'm your host, Lenore Moudou in Washington, D.C. with producer Jackson Vunganyi and engineer Wojtek Izoniak. Until next time, take care, be well, and strive to make every day a healthy day.